All right, radio congregation, this message is for you. Get your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 10. We're going to take a look at the conversion of Cornelius. But let's start the broadcast off today with this, shall we?
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner, saved by grace.
Just a sinner, saved by grace. When I stood
yeah.
I don't know if you ever took the time to think about this or not, but so far as we can tell, the first non-Jewish convert was, here again, as best we can tell, either a Roman centurion named Cornelius or an unnamed Ethiopian eunuch that we read about in Acts chapter 8. Now, we've previously spoken of the conversion of that Ethiopian eunuch. Today, I want us to turn our attention to the conversion of that Roman centurion. Now, to be sure, either of these two men could tell you of their conversion experience, the Ethiopian eunuch or the Roman centurion. Either one could tell you of their conversion experience. My question is this, can you? Do you have such a testimony? You see, these men could tell us the circumstances surrounding their coming to Christ. Can you do that? Do you have such a testimony as that? Understand this. It's not important so much that you know the minute, the hour, or the day, or the place where you were when you came to Christ. Is your testimony, though, that you have been born again? Regardless of the time, the place, the date, wherever you may have been, do you have a testimony that you have been born again, that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, that you know beyond any doubt whatever that Christ Jesus is your Savior, your Master, your Redeemer, that if your heart were to beat its last time during the process of this broadcast, do you know that when you went out of this sphere of reality into that sphere of reality, that you would be in heaven? Do you know that? I'm not asking you, do you remember when you were baptized or when you joined the church? That's not necessarily when you were born again. Have you been born again? Do you know beyond any doubt that you have been born again? You see, Jesus told Nicodemus, that Pharisee, that religious leader among the Jews, he came to him. He was seeking spiritual truth. He had some questions. He was heavily involved in the system of religious in the Jewish community, but he had some doubts, had some questions, had some fears. He came to Jesus. He wanted some answers. And so Jesus simply cut across the grain of the conversation and said, you must be born again. You see, with all of his religious activity, he was one heartbeat from hell. And how many today am I speaking to who are involved in religious activity and yet one heartbeat from hell? With that in mind, let's go now to Acts chapter 10. While this centurion was one heartbeat from hell, he had a heart for God. He wanted to know God. He wanted to be related to God. He wanted to know that with his last heartbeat, when he went out into eternity, that he would be welcomed into glory, into heaven. He was doing everything he knew to do, just like so many I'm talking to today. You're doing everything you think possible to be made right with God, that which would make you right with God, perhaps that which you've been taught would make you right with God, but there's only one way to be made right with God, and that is you must be born again. That's what Christ told Nicodemus, that religious Pharisee. Nicodemus, you must be born again. With all of your religious activity, all your religious involvement, Nicodemus, you lack this. You must be born again. We come now to Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Now understand this. He is part of a military occupational force in Israel. Everybody in Israel had reason to resent him because he's a part of a military occupational force. Rome has conquered the nation. But we look at verse 2. He's a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Note carefully how the Bible describes him. He is obviously a proselyte to the Jewish faith. He's an extremely religious man. He was a man wanting to know God. He was seeking God, and yet with imperfect knowledge. But that is all about to change. You see, God knew his heart. God knows your heart. I'm talking to some people today who are involved in religious activity up to your ears. You're heavily, heavily involved in religious activity, and yet you don't have that personal identification, that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know deep down in the depth of your heart something's missing. And so you're trying so hard through all of the religious activity you're involved in to gain that assurance that with your last heartbeat, you'll be welcomed into glory. I'm talking to how many today who are in that category? This man was wanting to know God. He was seeking God, and yet he did so with imperfect knowledge, and there are many of you today seeking a relationship with God with imperfect knowledge. Now, to understand this, I'm not pushing any denomination. I'm not presenting any denomination. I'm presenting Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, who went to the cross, took upon himself the sins of all who would believe, who would receive. Those can be born again and become new creations, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now we come to Acts chapter 10, verse 3. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius, God has heard this man's prayers. God has been listening to his prayers. God knows his heart. God knows he's seeking a relationship with himself. He sent an angel. These are the early days, folks. And God sent him an angel to tell him what he must do. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's about the time of the evening sacrifice, and he's involved in that when he had a vision. He had a vision. He had a visitation from an angel of God. And that, incidentally, that angel called him by name. You're known in heaven, friend. You're known in heaven. You're known as a friend of God or an enemy of God. You're known as a child of God or as a child of the devil. I care not what, and it matters not to me what religious denomination or movement you may be involved with, you are either a child of God or a child of the devil. And until such time as you are born again, you are a child of the devil. And all of the religious activity that you can involve yourself in would not make you right with God. No. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? You must be born again. You've got to become a new creation. So we come now, notice this angel calls him by name. Chapter 10, verse 4. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for memorial before God. You got to understand, this was a rather unsettling experience. But God has heard his prayer. God is answering his prayer. The angel could not tell him how to be born again. No, that's the duty of those who know Christ. That's the duty of those of us who have been born again. It is our duty to tell others how they can come into a personal relationship with God, how they can be born again. The angel couldn't do it. They couldn't then, they can't now. That's up to us, the people of God. The angel could not tell him, as I said, how to be born again, but he could direct him to someone who could. We come to Acts chapter 10, verse 5. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. The angel is basically saying, I can't tell you what's necessary for you to be related to God the Father, but Peter can. Simon can. Send and get him. he will tell you what you must do. Acts 10:7. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. He wasted no time. This man is eager to know God. He really wants to know God. And he is seeking God. I wonder how many today I'm talking to who really want to know God. I wonder how many I'm speaking to today who are really seeking God. And I wonder if you know how to seek God, how to find God, where to find God. Well, Cornelius wasted no time. He wasted no time in obeying what he was told to do. Acts 10:8. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. It appears he had told them of the angelic visitation. Now, here's a centurion. Here's a man with some rank and authority in the Roman army. He has 100 men under his authority, and yet he's not the least bit hesitant to explain to them what had just happened in his life. Obviously, he told them about the angelic visitation. Would you have done that? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Be honest with me. Would you have done that? If you were a man in authority, 100 men under your authority, military officer, hardened by war, ready to go to war at any time on orders, would you have called in some servants and one of your soldiers and said, listen, I've just had a visitation from an angel from heaven. I wonder if you're hesitant to share what God has done in your life. I wonder if you're hesitant to share what God has said to you in your prayer time, spirit to spirit. I wonder how many of you are hesitant to share what God has done. This centurion wasn't hesitant. Right away, when the angel told him what to do and departed, he called him in. He's telling him what he experienced, and he's telling them what he wants them to do. The next day, Acts chapter 10, verse 9, the next day as they went on their way, on their journey, and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's about noon. It's about noon, and the Spirit of God calls Peter to prayer. He's going to go up on the top of the residence. He's going to spend time in prayer. This is the same man that denied Christ three times. This is the same man who was cowardly, but oh, has he had an experience with God. Pentecost, Spirit-filled, Spirit-anointed, Spirit-led, and now nothing deters him in his walk with God. So it's about noon. He feels drawn to prayer, so he goes up on the rooftop. He does not know when he goes up there, he's about to have an experience. God has an appointment with him. He doesn't know that, but he's about to find out. Acts 10:10. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, a spirit-induced trance. He's here, but he's not here. He's conscious, he's not really conscious. And in that condition, he had a supernatural spiritual experience. A supernatural spiritual experience. Acts 10:11. And he saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descended to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, with beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." This is a trance, if you will. This is a vision from God. This is an interaction between him and Jehovah God. And when he is told to rise, Peter, kill and eat, he says, "Not so, Lord. Not so. I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice spoke to him again, the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Did you hear that? That which God has cleansed. You must not call common. See, there's a lesson in that for you, for me. Sometimes we take a look at a person, we judge them, we make a judgment about them, we categorize them in our mind, and either they are worthy of our attention or they're not worthy of our attention. They're worthy of our salutation or they're not worthy of our salutation. You'd be surprised if you were to take the time to stop and analyze your thought life, how many thoughts you have that are unchristlike towards others, especially others of another race, another, if you will, country, another nationality. You'd be surprised if you were to take the time to examine your thought life, what you would really truly find. All this is a lesson for us in this, for you and for me. There's a lesson in all this for us. And what did God say to him? What did the angel say? What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Regardless of their race, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their economic status, they may be of a different race than you. They may be of a different economic status of you. Regardless of their mother tongue or their accent, they may speak a different language than you speak. But regardless, irrespective of their dress, how many times do you look at the way someone's dressed and formulate an opinion? How often do you take one look at them and make a decision, categorize them based on what they're wearing? But you got to remember this. Every human being on the face of the earth is a member of God's creation. Every human being on the face of the earth is a member of God's creation, regardless of how they differ from you or me. Regardless of how different they may be from you or from me, they are still a member of God's creation. And remember this, Christ Jesus went to the cross for all who would believe, regardless of their economic status, regardless of where their citizenship is located, regardless of anything and everything else in life, Christ went to the cross. Do you realize that Christ went to the cross for every living soul who has ever lived or will ever live? Do you realize that he shed his blood on behalf of any and all who would believe? God loves people that we sometimes find it difficult to like, much less love. Do we not? You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As I said, God loves people. We sometimes find it difficult to even like them, much less love them. Not only that, we categorize them. We judge them. We categorize them based on their dress, accent, color of their skin, whatever it may be. We tend to categorize them. And that smacks of being judgmental. And we're not to be judgmental. But that smacks of judgmentalism. Now we come to John 7:24. The Word of God says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That was Jesus speaking. He said to those that day, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In Acts 10:16, this was done three times. He saw this vision three times. Simon saw this vision three times. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Three times. Seems to me that God was trying to make a point. What do you think? I mean, for the same vision, three times, repetitiously, to appear to Peter, seems to me that God was trying to make a point. But I wonder, how many of us are sometimes not very teachable? How many? How many of us have in many times in our lives been unteachable? How many of us today are unteachable? And what is God going to have to do to get our attention? What is God going to have to do to us as individuals to get our attention? you, me. Has God in some subtle way been trying to get your attention in an area of your life, and have you ignored his attempts to get your attention? What is God going to have to do in this nation to get our attention as a nation? I wonder how many times God has to move in a spectacular, different kind of way, trying to make a point with us, as he was here with Peter. How many of us sometimes are just not very teachable? I've found times in my life I wasn't very teachable. God had to point it out to me. Yes, even in recent days, as have you. If you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if you're not so caught up in a religious routine, if you get quiet, get still before God, search out your heart, let the Holy Spirit of God speak to your heart, you might find that there's some areas of your life where you're not really that sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How many of us are really not that teachable? Now we come to Acts 10:17. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision, which he had just sent, meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. The vision, no doubt, had rattled Peter. It would have rattled me. I dare say it would rattle you. I have no doubt it rattled Peter. You see, this cuts against the grain of all that he was, all that he believed. This vision from God was cutting across the grain of everything he was as Jewish, everything he believed. And each of us must sometimes always remember and remind ourselves, and you'd do well just to say this to yourself maybe two or three times a day, there's no end what I don't know. There's no end to what I don't know. God has all knowledge. God has all knowledge. I might want to be more sensitive to his Spirit and learn from him. The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's what God said to the prophet Isaiah. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Well, the messengers have arrived at the home where Peter is staying, Acts 10:18, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. Now we come to chapter 10, verse 19. While Peter thought about the vision, I dare say that did cause him some thought. It would me. I think if I had a vision like that from God, it would cause me to slow down, stop, wind my watch, ponder, think, maybe get on my knees or on my face. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, now this is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. He speaks. The Holy Spirit still speaks. He has spoken through the Word, but he speaks spirit to spirit. The question is, do you discern and can you discern the difference when it's you, the Spirit of God, or an unclean spirit? Can you? Do you have that kind of discernment? Can you discern when you're hearing God? Are you hearing yourself? Are you hearing an unclean spirit? The Spirit of God speaks to Peter, said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. This is the Spirit of God. He still does that today, folks. Yes, we have the canon. We have the completed Word of God, but there are times the Spirit of God wants to instruct you, wants to teach you, wants to require something of you, wants to instruct you. The question is, are you sensitive enough to know when the Spirit of God is speaking to you? And are you familiar enough with the voice of the Spirit of God that you can recognize when the Spirit of God is speaking to you? The Spirit of God spoke to Peter's spirit. I ask you again. Do you recognize the voice of the Spirit of God when he speaks to you? He had no doubt is speaking to you from time to time. The question is, are you sensitive to it? And the question is, can you identify the voice of God, the Spirit of God when he's speaking to you. God did not tell Peter what reason he was to go with these men. But God said this to him, "Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Peter's up there asking God. He's trying to understand this whole thing. And then God speaks to him. It says, "Arise, therefore, go down, leave this rooftop, go down with them. Don't doubt, Peter, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." When God's involved in it, you don't have to doubt it. Obey. But you say, "Well, Bob, how do I know that it's God?" Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Here God is speaking to Peter. He says, "Arise, go therefore and go down with them. Go with them. Don't doubt, Peter. Doubt nothing, for I have sent them." Peter, God is saying to Peter, just do as I say, without question. That's good advice for every child of God. That's good advice for every child of God. Listen, there are times God is speaking to your spirit, and you can't discern that it's the Spirit of God speaking to your spirit. And so many times you slough it off. You don't see it as the Spirit of God speaking to your spirit. You just slough it off. How do you become more sensitive to God's voice in your spirit? Spend time with him. Be quiet with him. Time in his word. Getting to know him. Getting to know him. Getting to know his voice. So, verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" Peter went down. He introduces himself to them. You see, you'll never improve on simple childlike obedience. Peter just did what God said to do. God said to Peter, "Go down. Go down. Don't ask any questions. Listen to what they have to say. Simply comply with their request." That's basically what it said. You will never improve on simple childlike obedience. That's what God wants from each of us. If you're born again, you're a child of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God. And day by day, the Spirit of God wants to lead you, guide you, direct you, instruct you. He just wants you to be sensitive, to listen, to understand his voice. So he asked them, "Why have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Now, folks, slow down and listen a moment. This is the message they're giving Peter. Peter says, "What did you want? Why are you here? What do you want?" And they said, "Are you listening? Do you have ears to hear this?" They said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." How would you respond to a message like that? You'd probably say, "Oh, yeah, well," would you? But you got to remember that Peter's been from the housetop. He's had a visitation from God. He's had instructions from God. Now all he's got to do is obey. God didn't fill in all the details. God didn't cross all the T's and dot all the I's about this visit. God just simply said, "Go with them." Without question. Don't question what it's all about, Peter. Just go. So they've stated their mission. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. That day after they spoke to him, he said, "Well, it's a little late to get started. Come on in, spend the night." And so they spent the night. The next day, they leave. So Peter went with them, and he took some brethren with him. He wanted some witnesses. He took some brethren from Joppa. They accompanied him, the Word of God says. Unsure. Understand this, Peter's unsure. He's uncertain where all this was going. Peter went with him. I've been there. I've been there when I really wasn't real sure where God was leading. I really wasn't sure why I was to do what I was told to do. Have you been there? He was unsure. He was really uncertain where all this was going, but he went with him. He is simply moving in obedience, and friend, you will never do better than that. You will never, hear me, hear me, hear me. You will never do better than obey God. Hear God. Obey God. He is simply moving in obedience. But he's taking witnesses with him. He's going to a Gentile's house. It's unlawful for a Jew to go into the home of a Gentile. But he's got a word from the Lord. He's determined to obey God. Will you obey God at all cost? Will you obey God at all cost if you know in your heart of hearts that God is speaking to you by his Spirit, or God is speaking to you from his word, correcting you, directing you, guiding you? Will you obey? Obedience is better than sacrifice, the word of God says. He's simply moving in obedience, but he's taking witnesses with him. He knows he's going against everything in his culture. This is new territory to Peter. This is new territory. This is a new experience, but he's determined. God said, do it. I'm going to obey. Are you there? When God says, do it, will you do it? And it's not always something he says from his word to you. Sometimes it's spirit to spirit. Are you sensitive enough to the Spirit of God to know when the Spirit of God is saying to you, do this, do that, say this, say that, go here, go there? And are you submitted enough, as well as sensitive enough, that you'll obey? Peter's obeying. Now we come to verse 24 of Acts 10. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them. This centurion is waiting with bated breath, I have no doubt. Was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. This man is not ashamed of the fact that he is seeking God. He is seeking the face of God. He's seeking relationship with God. He wants to know God. And so he's been in prayer all this. How many months had gone by, we don't know. But we know that morning, with that experience with the angel, he now is getting confirmation. He calls in relatives. He calls in friends. He calls in neighbors. He is not ashamed of the fact. He is not ashamed of the fact that he is seeking Jehovah God. Verse 25 of Acts 10. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. This is a commanding officer in an occupational army in the nation of Israel. And Peter, an ex-fisherman, who is now an apostle, comes walking into his house, and Cornelius rushes to him and falls down in front of him, worshiping him. Here's a Roman centurion falling down and worshiping Peter, the fisherman who has become an apostle. Such reverence did he show for this man of God. Peter refused his reverence. Peter refused his worship. No pride, no self-exaltation. Peter was not eaten up with pride. Peter was not going to be self-exalting. He was not going to receive worship from anyone else. Acts 10:27. And as he talked with them, he went in and joined many who had come together. Outside, apparently they met in a room outside the room where all the others are gathered. And Peter's saying, what do you send for me? You know it's unlawful for me, a Jew, to enter the house of a Gentile. Why did you send for me? I wonder if perhaps we could think of this maybe as the first house church. You got a little congregation there. They don't know what to expect. They don't know what's coming down. But Cornelius has obeyed God. Peter has obeyed God. So you've got two men who have obeyed God. And God is about to move. He's about to do a spectacular, wonderful thing. And so perhaps we can think of this as the very first house church. I don't know. Acts 10:28. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go in to one of another nation. But, watch this carefully, God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." What a lesson in that. Peter is learning and learning fast. God is no respecter of persons. Christ went to the cross for people you won't waste the time of day with. Christ went to the cross to die for people that many of you would not give them the time of day. You take one look at them and dismiss them as unworthy of your attention, unworthy of your time, unworthy of your prayers, perhaps even unworthy of your greeting. What a lesson we have here. God has chosen me. This is Peter, the apostle. God has chosen me that I should not call any man common or unclean. May I say to you that many of us today need to embrace that truth? Many times we don't voice it, but we know it's in the spirit. We know it's in the mind. We know it's in the heart. We know that way down deep where we live, we are criticizing, condemning, judging. We know that we are in some way thinking of them in a very un-Christ-like way. We see them as beneath us, below us, and not worthy of our time or our attention, or for that matter, our prayers. Many of us, and listen, folks, I have to come to grips with these same truths. I have to look myself in the mirror. I have to go before the throne of God. I have to examine my heart. I have to examine any prejudices in my heart. I have to examine what is in my heart that Satan is just waiting to stir at any given moment, just like you do. You have to understand this, people of God. We all came into the family of God as new converts. When we were born again, converted, we came into the family of God with a heart full that had to be cleansed out. And it's not all done in a split second. It's not all done the moment we receive Christ. Yes, we become a new creation then. Yes, we're born again then. Yes, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yes, we are at that time indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. But understand this, friend. The Spirit of God, in His timing, is going to continue to show you the things in your life, the attitudes, the desires, the wishes, the wants, the actions, whatever it may be. He is going to continue to show you the things in your life that are un-Christ-like, that are ungodly. The question is, are you sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to understand when you're being convinced and even convicted? And will you respond to that conviction in a Christ-like way? There's such a lesson here. Listen to what Peter says again. God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And how many of us have been guilty of that in the past? And how many listening to this broadcast today are guilty of that today? Peter's basically saying to them, God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, verse 29, I came without objection. I didn't object to what he told me to do. I didn't understand it, but I obeyed. Folks, that's all that's required of us. We don't have to understand all he's telling us to do. We just have to obey. Therefore, I came without understanding. He's admitting, I don't even know why I'm here. I'm not even really sure why I am here. But as soon as I was sent for, therefore I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? I'm not real sure I understand why I'm here. Why did you send for me? You had some reason for sending for me. You're Gentiles. I'm a Jew. I've come. I'm in your home. Now, why did you send for me? Listen to that. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting about this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Cornelius, you're a Gentile, but your prayer has been heard by Almighty God. Your prayer came up into the presence of God. You didn't even know who you were praying to. And you really didn't know how to pray or what to pray, but you prayed. You prayed your heart, and God heard your heart. Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms, those things you've been doing on the behalf of the people of God, that which you've been giving, that which you've been doing on behalf of the people of God are remembered in the sight of God. God took note. God took note, Cornelius. He took note of what you have prayed. He took note of what you were doing and has answered your prayer. Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. Specific instructions. God gives specific instructions. The Word of God is full of specific instructions. That which obeyed brings blessings. When we obey the Word of God, we receive the blessings of obeying the Word of God. We receive the fruit of that. But let me say this to you, dear heart. You will never go wrong obeying God regardless of what God calls you to do, what God tells you to do. You will never go wrong in obeying God. The Word of God is full of specific instructions. And when you obey those specific instructions, they bring a blessing with them. You'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong obeying God. Day by day, you need to say, God, give me sensitivity to your spirit. I want to hear and I want to obey. Instant obedience. Instant obedience. There's no substitute. There is no substitute for instant obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, in other words, to listen, than the fat of rams. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. From every race, every nation, every tongue, God accepts those who believe. God accepts all who believe. From every race, from every nation, from every tongue. How often do you pray for the advancement of the kingdom of God in the nations of the world? How often do you pray for a move of the Spirit of God in those unevangelized nations of the world that have never heard the gospel? Do you ever, ever take them before the throne of God? Acts 10:36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You want peace with God? You receive peace with God through Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. And may I say to you today, you're never going to find any peace short of God, short of identifying with God, short of receiving Christ. Listen, so many of you are trying so hard to find. You're involved in all kinds of religious activity, trying so hard to find the peace of God. You'll never find it short of Christ Jesus being born again. Religious activity won't get it done. Knowing Christ, you've got to know that you know that you know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You see, you'll only know the peace of God when you have peace with God. Hear me carefully. As we move towards a wrap-up, you will only know the peace of God when you have peace with God, and you can only have peace with God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. No religious organization can bring you the peace of God. Now, don't get me wrong. There are any number of denominations that are Christ-centered, Christ-honored. Some have not yet compromised. Some have not yet compromised. Many have. Many have compromised their relationship with God through Christ Jesus, have compromised the message of salvation in and through Christ Jesus. But for those who receive Christ, who are born again, indwelt by the Spirit of God, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, adopted into the family of God, to those, that's when you get the peace of God. The peace of God comes in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Dead religious systems will never produce peace with God. Never produce the peace of God. Dead religious systems, we can't do that. They just can't do that. They can never produce peace with God, nor the peace of God. Acts 10:37. Peter goes on, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, from whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Peter says to them, we're witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Never forget, folks, it was the religious leadership of the nation that prompted his crucifixion. It was the religious leadership of the nation that prompted his crucifixion. Peter goes on in Acts 10:40, him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. We are eyewitnesses to his resurrection from the dead. His resurrection from the dead proved his messiahship. God chose the witnesses to the resurrection, those who knew him so well. He chose those who would be witnesses to the resurrection, and among those he chose were those who knew him best, who knew him so well. These were well aware of his crucifixion. They were aware of his crucifixion and his death and his resurrection. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God be judged of the living and the dead. Acts 10:43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Folks, such was the beginning of the spreading of the gospel to the Gentiles, to all people, to every race, to every nation under the sun. Every living soul of every race, of every nation, is precious in the sight of God. Christ Jesus went to the cross for all who would believe. Romans 10:12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings good tidings, who brings glad tidings of good things. Folks, I have delivered to you today the message that Peter delivered to the Gentiles. So far as we can tell, he may have been the very first Gentile, either him or the unnamed eunuch from Ethiopia. One of the two. But my question to you is, have you believed? Seriously. have you received? Does your life depict that you have received Christ as your Savior? That you become a new creation in Christ Jesus? Your value system has changed? Your lifestyle has changed? Where you will go, what you will do, what you won't do, what you will say, what you won't say, what you will be a part of, what you won't be a part of? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Father God, I commit the message into your hands. Use it as you will, with whom you will, to your honor, your glory, and your praise. And this I ask in Christ Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, do we have a chance to do this again? Consider carefully what you've heard and be blessed.